The scripture reading today is from Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3, which can be found in your pew Bible starting on page 501. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from New Faith Presbyterian Church, Greenwood, South Carolina, and I am delighted to be with you all today. Before I read the New Testament scripture, I'd like to express my gratitude to Dr. Renwick and the session and to all of you for this wonderful honor of being able to share God's word with you today. It is a joy to be here, and I give God the praise. The book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning with verse 35, these words are recorded. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Loving God, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds and our hearts that as your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Have you ever asked a child to describe love? If so, you are keenly aware that children see love in some of the most fascinating ways imaginable. Recently, I came across an article titled, "What is Love Through the Eyes of a Child?" This article listed the responses of young children to the question, "What does love mean?" And the answers given by the children were priceless. Perhaps you've heard some of them before. 8-year-old Rebecca said, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even though his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Noelle, age 7, said, love is when you tell a guy you really like his shirt and then he wears it every day. And then there was Tommy, age 6. It was Tommy who said, love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. 6-year-old Chrissy said, love is when you go out to eat and you give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Carl, 5-year-old Carl, noted that love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on cologne and they go out and smell each other. It gets better. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it, said 8-year-old Jessica. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. And then lastly, There was the budding theologian, if you will, Jenny. It was Jenny who said, there are two kinds of love, our love and God's love, but God makes both of them. Indeed, friends, God does make both of them. God is love. And the very songs we sing tell of God's amazing love. Remember this one? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Indeed, the Bible tells us of God's amazing love for us. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. Psalm 36, verse 7. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Psalm 86, 5. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear God. Psalm 103, 17. Love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4, 7. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3. Love makes the human experience worth living. In fact, the late Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, whom we lost this week, she conveyed the powerful impact of love on the human experience in these unforgettable words. She said, before the day I met you, life was so unkind. But you're the key to my peace of mind, because you make me feel. You make me feel. You make me feel like a natural woman. And yes, love from others can make us feel like a natural woman or man, but the truth is, human love, our love, with all of its merits, it still pales in comparison to the divine love of God, which is so amazing that, if the truth be told, sometimes it's hard to grasp. Augustine of Hippo tried to grasp God's love, and he put it in words like these. This is what Augustine said. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. We can search high and low, friends, but we'll never find anything in all creation like the faithful and amazing love of our God. The story is told of Donnie and Matthew. Donnie and Matthew. Two adolescent boys who were exploring in the woods near their home one Saturday in early spring. As they followed the creek behind their house, they came across a scrawny black and white skunk caught in a steel trap by its front foot. The two boys figured that the trap had probably been set for muskrats, but it had caught the skunk instead. So Donnie, filled with compassion for the poor critter, decided he would try to free the skunk from the trap. But Matthew, on the other hand, wasn't so sure he wanted to get involved. And who could blame him? As Donnie slowly inched his way toward the skunk, Matthew kept his distance, holding his breath all the while. You're gonna be sorry, Donnie, Matthew shouted. But Donnie, undaunted and unbothered by Matthew's warning, kept right on walking slowly and gently towards the skunk. Donnie finally got close enough to reach forward and close his hand around the trap, which had caught the skunk's front paw just above the wrist area. And as Donnie grasped the trap, the skunk pulled away as far from him as the chain would allow, never taking his black eyes off of him. Moving very, very slowly, Donnie gripped both sides of the trap as the helpless skunk stayed perfectly still, watching Donnie's every move. Matthew, on the other hand, was looking on from a distance. But as Matthew looked on from a distance, Donnie slowly pressed down with both hands until the spring catch released. And suddenly, the skunk's legs came free, and it just stood there for a moment, gathering itself and holding up its injured leg. Then after a while, the free skunk turned and hobbled away. Now, friends, a skunk is arguably the last animal anyone would want to get close to, much less help. A puppy, maybe. A rabbit, okay. A kitten, yeah. But a skunk? Maybe even a squirrel, but not a skunk. And if you've ever smelled the offensive spray that skunks release as a defense mechanism when they're in distress, then you know why it's best to keep your distance from skunks. The truth is, many people in Donnie's shoes would opt to let that trapped skunk fend for itself. After all, that was Matthew's decision. But rather than worry about what could happen to him if he helped the skunk, Donnie thought about what would happen to the skunk if he did not help. And so he set it free. Watch this, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. I share this story with us this morning not to imply that any of us are skunks, because certainly we are not. Rather, I share it with you because in some ways, Donnie's unselfish action toward the skunk is a reminder of God's unbiased, uninfluenced, and unconditional love for us. If God wanted to, God could choose to ignore us, like Matthew, who chose to ignore the skunk for fear of the skunk's nauseating spray. God is not obligated to love us. In fact, oftentimes through our actions or inactions, our spray, if you will, we give God many reasons to not love us. But God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. And God freely chooses to lavish God's love upon us. Watch this, despite our faults, our failures, and our flaws, which underscores the fact that God's love is not simply a feeling. It's a choice. Christian evangelist Paul Washer said this, "I have given God countless reasons not to love me, but none of them has been strong enough to change him." And while we should take great care to understand God's love alongside God's justice, the good news for us is that there is nothing we can do or cannot do to alter God's love for us. But why? 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 Why does God love us so much? I mean, what can we give God that God doesn't already have? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all who live in the world belong to God. What can we do for God that God cannot do for God's self? Perhaps David wondered the same thing, for it was David, the little shepherd boy turned king. It was David who penned these words in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, New International Version. David said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" But then Eugene Peterson translates Psalm 8 and 4 this way. This is the way the Message Bible translated Psalm 8 and 4. "Why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way?" Have you ever wondered why? We know God loves us, but have you ever wondered why God bothers with us? I mean, think about us for a moment. We fluctuate. When it comes to our walk with God, sometimes we're hot, sometimes we're cold. Sometimes life throws unexpected circumstances our way that sidetrack us, shake us, and set us back, causing our faith and our walk with God to fluctuate. So why does God, who never fluctuates, why does God bother with those of us who are so easily prone to fluctuation? Why does God take a second look our way? I'll tell you. L-O-V-E. God could turn God's back on us. Instead, God draws near to us. That's love. God could have ignored our helpless plight. Instead, God made provision for our salvation. That's love. God could have wiped out humanity with the word. Instead, God redeemed humanity with God's son. The scriptures tell us in Romans 8 and 5, God demonstrates God's love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's love, and love is not what it says. Love is what it does. And then in the 8th chapter of Romans, perhaps one of the best known and best loved chapters in the Bible, we find the Apostle Paul offering strong sentiments to the believers in Rome about the love of God in Christ Jesus. considered by some to be a statement of faith, Paul asks in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Paul knows that the original Roman recipients are suffering. And so in verse 35, he offers and he lists seven circumstances that they are enduring at the time. And while these seven circumstances are arduous, Paul quickly asserts that not even these seven atrocities can separate believers from the love of God in Christ. And then, friends, to prove his point and to provide comfort for the Romans, Paul comes right back in verse 36 and quotes Psalm 44:22, verse 36. He quotes Psalm 44:22 and says in verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This quote from Psalm 44:22 refers to a time in Israel's history when the children of Israel were lamenting the cruel deaths of godly people at the hands of evildoers. And by quoting Psalm 44:22, Paul reminds the original recipients that many faithful believers before them had gone through and come through what they were going through. And then Paul goes on to verse 37, and with great hope and faith, Paul boldly proclaims, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Essentially, Paul says to the Roman believers, I know things are not going so good for you right now. I know you're suffering. I know things are not looking so good, but in the midst of it all, there is good news. And the good news is this, that the love of God in Christ will enable you to overwhelmingly conquer and rise above every adversity that comes your way. In all these things, Paul says, we are more than conquerors. Paul does not say in all these things we might be more than conquerors or we could be more than conquerors. Paul says in all these things, Romans, National Presbyterian, we are more than conquerors. You did notice, didn't you? I mean, you caught it, right? Of course you did. You caught it. In verse 35, verse 36, and verse 37, Paul uses us and we language. Us and we language. Watch this. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 36, we face death all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But when Paul gets to verse 38, he intentionally departs from we and us and dramatically shifts to I. He makes it personal in verse 38 and says, for I am convinced. The Greek verb here suggests that Paul is speaking about a present reality based on a past experience. And essentially, Paul says in verse 38, I was convinced before, but I'm convinced even the more now that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, that's no condition of existence. He goes on to say, neither angels nor demons, that's no unseen spiritual being. Neither the present nor the future, that's nothing in time, nor any powers, Paul says, that's spiritual rulers or earthly rulers. Neither height nor depth, that's nothing in the highest heights of the sky above or the deepest depths of the ocean below. And Paul says, just in case I missed anything, there is nothing in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God. Paul says, I'm convinced, I'm sure, I know that I know that I know. But why was he convinced? Why was the menace turned missionary so convinced? Why was Paul the persecutor turned preacher so convinced? Why was Paul the hater of Christ turned lover of Christ so convinced that nothing could separate him or us from the love of God? He was convinced because he had suffered many terrible things for the sake of the gospel. He had been thrown in jail, beaten with whips 5 times, beaten with sticks 3 times, shipwrecked 3 times, stoned and left for dead. And friends, it was God's love, God's amazing love that comforted Paul when storms raged in his life. It was God's love, God's amazing love that anchored Paul when things unraveled in his life. It was God's love, God's amazing love that encouraged Paul when he was discouraged. It was God's love, God's amazing love that convinced Paul, regardless of the situation, nothing could change, estrange, or rearrange God's love for him. Paul was convinced that regardless, it just didn't matter. Nothing could make God stop loving us. There's nothing, no thing and no one that could separate us from the love of God in Christ. May I ask you a question this morning? Thank you. Are you convinced? Are you convinced that nothing in all creation can separate you from the amazing love of God? I believe I'm preaching to some convinced people in National Presbyterian this morning. I believe I'm preaching to some convinced people this morning. And just by a wave of hands, if you don't mind, are there any convinced people in here this morning? Okay, can I push it just a little bit further? If you're convinced and you know that you know and you're absolutely sure that there is nothing that can separate you or me or anyone from the love of God, can I push it just a little bit further? And if you're convinced today, would you put your hands together? I am convinced. And so what do convinced believers do? How do convinced believers respond to God's amazing love? We respond by loving one another. We respond by using our influence and our affluence, not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. We respond by acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. We respond by comforting the comfortless and helping the helpless. We respond by letting the love and the light of Jesus Christ shine in us, around us, and through us for all the world to see this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. And so for all of us today, to all of us who are convinced, I encourage all of us to continue to give thanks to the Lord. For God is good and God's love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for God's love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords for God's love, God's amazing love, endures forever. Amen. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. Our hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with your light of day. That is our prayer.